Okay, evolution. We're back to talking about evolution here. And evolution's missing links. And we're going to look at some of this here today. We're going to talk about a few of these apes. These are not men or women. They are what evolution tries to teach you are missing links. And they don't add up. The information, the evidence does not add up. It does not, and it's important that we take a look at the evidence. So where is the missing link? Does the theory of evolution provide any proof of transitional species? Do they have one solid transitional species? No, they don't. They do not have one. Shouldn't there be an abundance of transitional species around if evolution is true? We should have millions of them, but we don't have one. Living ones, that's right. It should be concrete since they pride themselves in evidence and not believing anything by faith. Oh, no, that faith is for those dumb religious people. They just believe everything they read. We don't have faith, the atheists or the evolutionists will tell you, right? So we have Lucy here first, which is really a nothing. I'm going to show you how they made Lucy. It's kind of interesting. There's Java Man. You like Java Man? Does it look like he's had a little bit too much coffee? Piltdown Man looks kind of like a rapper. I don't know. Somewhat like a rapper. He kind of does. I mean, he's got dreads. He's kind of Piltdown Man's a rapper. I mean, he has even got a rapper name, kind of. P-Down. You don't know that's that good. Piltdown Man, right? He looks kind of like a rapper. Gold teeth, probably. I mean, he's, you know. Look, they tried to make it look as much like a man. I'm not insulting anybody. I'm telling you the truth that they try to make these look like men. Cross species, they're not. They either are or they're not. But they're not what they make them to be. Yep. Right, how everybody copies off you. Well, the Bible says that everything was made. Turn your Bibles to Genesis chapter 1. The Bible says everything was made after his kind. Genesis chapter 1, verse 11. And God said, let the earth bring forth grass, the herb yielding seed, and the fruit tree yielding fruit after his kind. So, you know, grapes produce what? Grapes. Grapes don't produce apples. Not too often. Whose seed is in itself upon the earth, and it was so. And the earth brought forth grass and herb-yielding seed after his kind. That's an important phrase. You're going to find that over and over in the Bible. His kind. After his kind. And the tree-yielding fruit whose seed was in itself after his kind. And God saw that it was good. What's that? Right. Genetically altering, right. Right, that's right. They mix and mingle them. They mix and mingle them together. And God created great whales and every living creature that moveth, which the waters brought forth abundantly, after their kind, and every winged fowl after his kind. And God saw that it was good. So whales produce what? Whales. And God blessed them, saying, be fruitful and multiply, and fill the waters and the seas, and let fowl multiply in the earth. So we have an eagle, right? And what does it produce? Reproduce? An eagle. Yeah. Look at that. Isn't that cool? Yeah, it is. I stole that fair and square. That's right. God said plainly everything after his kind. And because God is the God of order. That's what you have to understand. We have an order that God has placed in the scriptures, in this world. God placed an order down. Everything is made after his kind because that's God's order. What happened with disorder? Well, I can tell you about some disorder. who knows one of the first times that disorder occurred and it caused kind of a mess? Genesis chapter 6. What happened in Genesis chapter 6? The sons of God came into the daughters of men, right? What happened? Disorder. Giants came. Giants are not human. You never see the same word for man and giant. It's not the same word. You look through it. Look all the way through. We're not going to have time to talk about that. I know there'll be some people that try to explain that away. They never have a reason for the giants. Never at all. Never at all. But anyway, we'll save that for another day. We've already talked about that. Satan led Eve to question God. God clearly explains how he created all things. God tells us very plainly how he created all things. He spoke this world into existence. God tells us how it happened. Evolution does not have an answer for the origin of man. It does not. Everything that it tries, every bit of evidence, and I use that in quotations, that it tries to provide, it never is satisfactory. It never makes sense. It's not conclusive. It's not observable. Science. So they must believe it by faith, just like we believe by faith. But we also have some evidence. How is that? Well, when we reproduce, it's after our kind. Right? It's observable. I want you to listen to this song here. This is a good song. Whoops. Let me go back here. Let me exit this. Make sure my volume's up. Technical difficulty. Hang on. I think Luke can edit me out. Great. Yeah, that's good. I like that. Very true. Very true. So you can learn a lot in songs, can't you? Good song to teach your kids. Evolution questions God. It says, "Yea, hath God said." It's the subtlety of the serpent, and it continues today. These transitional species, are there any? Well, here's the first one, Archaeopteryx, right? There we go. Anyway, this is the first major one. We're going to talk about this, but Origin of Species dealt with these transitional species. Darwin said there was a big problem with this theory. He admitted it. Now, a lot of people won't record these things because they don't want you to know that Darwin wasn't God. It's hard to believe, but in the science world, Darwin is God. They may say they don't believe in a God, but they sure do, and his name was Charlie Darwin. That is their God. So they really do believe in him. The most obvious and gravest objection which can be urged against my theory was that the fossil record failed to back up his evolutionary process. He said, you know what, we don't have a lot of species to prove that. He asked if species have descended from other species by insensibly fine gradations, do we not everywhere see innumerable transitional forms? Why don't we? Where are they? Where are all these transitions? Darwin said it. He thought that the fossil record would vindicate him. Darwin was sure that later on, the fossil record would vindicate. Now, let me tell you something about the fossil record, and let me tell you something about these people. You're going to see a lot of players in this game when I unfold this here for you today. You have to understand something. These people were sinister, and they were liars. And they purposely deceived people. To deceive them away from the truth, to seduce them from the truth of God. That was their whole goal. Say, no, it wasn't. They love science. No, they didn't. They didn't even use science. They used a lot of wicked techniques to deceive people. Do you realize that millions of people went to hell believing in these pictures that I'm going to show you? And they were all lies. And they admitted they were proven hoaxes and lies. But they shook the faith of those that were weaker, that weren't quite settled and weren't saved. Here's Archaeopteryx. What is he? That's what people want to know. 2 years later, it's fascinating, but 2 years later, after Darwin made that statement, all of a sudden they find this. Right? The timing is suspect. It usually is. So Darwin's supporters went nuts, like this guy. When Lee Strobel was a kid, he thought that Archaeopteryx was in the textbooks because he just represented a great number of people, or a great number of transitional species. So he said, you know what? The reason why it's in there is because it's legitimate. I mean, they wouldn't put any lies in textbooks. Right? There must be a great number of foundational, of these fossils in the fossil record. There must be of these transitional fossils. They must be there. But he was wrong. Lee Strobel was wrong. He was deceived by those pictures. Lee Strobel, he believed those. He grew up going to Sunday school, and then he went to science class, and they showed him all these pictures, and he believed them. And he became an atheist for a long time. What did they find? That rocks yield no transitions. The universal experience of paleontology. This is paleontology. This was written by Michael Denton, Evolution, A Theory in Crisis. He says that while the rocks have continually yielded new and exciting and even bizarre forms of life, what they have never yielded is any of Darwin's myriads of transitional forms. Never. The intermediates have remained as elusive as ever, and their absence remains, a century later, one of the most striking characteristics of the fossil record. It's not there. They're not there. You can't find them. So is he half bird or half reptile? What is he? What is this creature that they found? I mean, obviously it's a good fossil. I mean, they found it. But what is it? These consisted of several fossils from a single limestone quarry in Germany, each of which the quarry owner sold at a high price. Now, we got to stop here. What does the Bible say about the love of money? It is the root of all evil. So what would lead people? In this time period when Archaeopteryx came out, there was a huge rise in fossil findings. What else do you think happened with the rise of fossil findings? More fakes and more money. That's right. Money. They started to make a lot of money on these. And that's what it was all about. They searched around, and these people would find these fossils, and they would bring them, and these museums would pay big money. Why? Because there's big money to try to prove that God doesn't exist. That's why. Because then they don't have to answer to the God of the Bible, and they could live as they want to. So in this quarry, they found Archaeopteryx here. One appeared to possibly be a smaller dinosaur skeleton, complete with wings and feathers. European museums paid high prices for them. But in 1985, it was shown to be a fake. All those years later. Some people had a problem with it before that, though. But those people weren't heard. There are high-quality limestone deposits in Germany, which have been mined for over a century. The owners of the Dore quarry would sell the fossils to generate income. In 1861, a feather was found that sold for big money because it supposedly came from the Jurassic strata. Then they found a fossil bird with the head and neck missing. It's kind of amazing how they put these things together. I want to show you the magic that's involved with putting these things. No, I'm serious. Like, I don't think you can imagine the amount of magic that goes along putting these things together. I'm going to show you how absolutely magical it is. I mean, it's more magical than Peter Pan flying out your window. It's more magic than Dumbo's magic feather that made him fly. It's more magic than Houdini. Okay? It's magic how they do this. Don't believe me. I'm going to show you. The British Museum paid big money for the fossil. They have a lot of power, that British Museum, along with the Smithsonian. Those museums tend to hide evidence that you and I would want to be made public. And then the voices are not heard. There were problems with these fossils way back then that people, scientists had problems with. Real scientists that had integrity had problems with them. But Darwinian evolution was on the rise. Huxley and his gang of wicked men were about doing what they were doing, and the evangelists for evolution were out pushing this, preparing a nation for Hitler. In 1877, a second specimen was said to have been discovered close to the first, but this one had a neck and head. In that head were 13 teeth in each jaw. The head itself had the elongated, rounded shape of a lizard head. This latest find made an absolute sensation and was sure to sell for a great amount of money, and it surely did, going this time to the Humboldt Museum in Berlin as the highest bidder. Including that feather, there are six specimens of Archaeopteryx in the world. Six, okay? All six came from that same German limestone area. Now, that's important to understand. It's important to understand that you'll find a trend going here. When people find something like that, then, wow, magically they find more. And the way that they do it is kind of shocking, but I'll show you that. It's important to note that only the London and the Berlin fossils are well enough defined to be usable. So they make you think, let me ask you a question. When you first saw the ape man, you know, Java man, let's say, you thought that that Java man was like in a pit somewhere, and they pulled him out and was like, man, look at Java Man. Where'd they find that guy? Right? Where'd you find that guy at? Where'd that monkey man come from? You just pulled him out of a pit somewhere? And he was just like that? Yeah, isn't that what you thought when you were in school? They didn't explain that to you, did they? They didn't explain to you they didn't just open up some coffin somewhere and pull this guy out. Or down in the fossil, deep down in the sand or whatever. Deep down, they found this fossil of this entire ape man walking around. That's what they led you to believe, wasn't it? Well, that's what I would think, right? Because like when you find other bodies, you find them and that's the way they look. That's not what it looked like. That's not what they found either. And that's not what they found with Archaeopteryx either. That's not what they found. So there's two opinions about this fossil. One is that it was a bird that no longer exists. The second way to look at it is it was a hoax. We'll give you the information, let you decide. How could scales turn into feathers? Let me ask you that. Bones like a bird. This creature is said to have thin, hollow wing and leg bones such as a bird has. But here's the thing, not earlier than birds. Archaeopteryx does not predate birds because fossils of other birds have been found in the rocks of the same period, the Jurassic, in which this creature was found. It has modern bird feathers. If evolution is true, why does this thing have modern bird feathers? One person said this, but in Archaeopteryx, it is to be noted that feathers differ in no way from the most perfectly developed feathers known to us. Why is that important? Well, because millions and millions and millions and millions of years ago lived this creature, and it has feathers like a bird, right? And it hasn't evolved, and they have the same feathers today. So how does that work? Well, it only works if you understand a creation worldview and that somebody's lying. No prior transitions. There ought to be transitional species from reptile to Archaeopteryx, but this is not the case. It cannot be a connecting link between reptile and bird, for there are no transitions to bridge the immense gap. See, in order for this to be a transitional species, in order for this creature to be that way, guess what has to happen? There has to be some leading up to it. You don't just pop this creature out of nowhere and say, well, here's the transition to such and such. Well, where'd that one come from? That's not even good science. That's right. It cannot be connecting link between reptile and bird, for there are no transitions to bridge the immense gap leading from it to the reptile. It has fully developed bird wing bones and flight feathers. That's important. It's bird-like in most respects. Archaeopteryx gives evidence of being a regular bird in every way, except that it differs in a certain few features. Number one, the lack of a sternum. Number two, three digits on its wings, and number three, a reptile-like head. But there are explanations for all 3 points. Number one, a lack of a sternum. That's okay. Other birds have a wishbone. They don't have a sternum either. They have a wishbone. That's right. Has three digits on its wings. So do many poor flying birds. The ostrich is a poor flyer and has three claws on each wing, and its claws appear more reptilian than Archaeopteryx. So what does that mean? It means that this isn't a transition. From his own study, Swinton, an expert on birds and a confirmed evolutionist, has concluded this. The origin of birds is largely a matter of deduction. There is no fossil evidence of the stages through which the remarkable change from reptile to bird was achieved. W.E. Swinton, Biology and Comparative Physiology of Birds. It is obvious that we must now look for the ancestors of flying birds in a period of time much older than that in which Archaeopteryx lived. So they're admitting it. It doesn't work. It doesn't work as a transition. It won't. It is obvious. I got that one already. Some believe it's a hoax. Some believe this creature was just a hoax. It was made up. It was put together. Like the other ones I'm going to show you that were documented hoaxes that were put together. Do you realize that people will tell you when you talk to them out there on the street, you ask them for transitional fossils. You ask them for evidence of that. They're going to use some of these things that I'm showing you. They're going to use some of those. Java Man. Lucy. That have all proven to be frauds. Feathers added to fossils. Wait a minute, how's that work? Somebody took feathers, they're saying, and added it to the fossils. The owner made a small fortune on those fossils. All the specimens came from the same place. Now, you can look this up, the Hoyle Watson expose. They did a complete expose on this. It's important to note this. Remember Thomas Huxley, Darwin's bulldog, whom he called his bulldog? He had predicted that fossils of strange new species would be found. That's from the British Journal. By the way, you can find out more about this fraud, and you can look it up yourself if you'd like to find out more evidence about it. These are the references. I'll have them in the video, too, so people can look them up. Check us out. Make sure we're telling you the truth. I'm fine with it. How about Java Man? Is he your grandpa? I hope not. It is interesting. Now, if you were coming along and you found this, wouldn't you be surprised? If you were in a museum and you came up to the city and said, well, we found Java Man. Is he like Superman or what is it like? No, this is Java Man, okay? Where did this guy come from? Did he just pop out of the earth? Did they find him whole? No, this guy. Eugene Du Bois. This guy. But let me tell you something. Eugene did not find this. I want to warn you about that. Eugene, when you see Java Man, you always see him like this. He found him here. He was digging around here, supposedly, and he found Java Man was like buried. And he was like, no, Java Man wasn't buried. This is what he found. Are you ready? Now listen, pay close attention, children. I'm trying to help you. You big kids pay attention, too. Don't listen to your little tummies growling. You pay attention. Listen to this. Because I'm going to show you something that your science teacher never showed you before. This is what he found. He did not find Java Man. He found a skull cap. He found a femur. And he found some teeth. Do you understand? He took that. And he said it was that. Are you following me? Didn't I tell you it was magic? He threw all of this together. All of these things together, and he made this. Now, if that ain't a fairy tale or magic or a miracle, I don't know what is. But that's what they're calling Java Man, and that's what they taught kids in school, and that's what they want them to believe over the God of the Bible who said, I formed man out of the dust of the ground, breathed in his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. They want you to believe this. I mean, is it remarkable that that's all they found and they could... How do you go from this and reconstruct it to make that? You are a dishonest shyster is how you do that. You are a devil. That's how you do that. You are a liar. He assumed this creature was 1 million years old. Seems like he was a big dreamer, this guy, doesn't he? These people are not honest. Nearby, in the same condition, indicating the same approximate age, he also found two human skulls, known as the Wajak skulls. But he did not publicize this find, for they had a cranial capacity somewhat above that of modern man. We don't want to put that in there, because that would disprove evolution, wouldn't it? That kind of destroys the theory, doesn't it? If I brought these skulls out, then... Yeah, it does seem like he took the evidence and he was biased and dishonest. He was dishonest. You're going to find that in this trait of these paleontologists that work on this, that are desperately trying to prove their daddy Darwin right. They are desperately trying to prove their Lord and Savior Darwin right. They are evangelists and very dishonest ones at that. That's right. Amen. Many scientists questioned if all the bones were from the same creature. They said, how about this? How do you figure that? But even after examination, the femur was out of a normal human thigh bone. Well, duh, it was a human thigh bone. Not hard to understand. But Dubius spent his entire life touting he had found a half-human, half-ape man. He went on a tour. And he took that show on the road. He's like, man, I found me an ape man. I'm going to reconstruct this thing, and I'm going on the road with it. Come on, Java, let's go make some bucks. Right? Could you imagine the T-shirts and everything you could have done with that? Java Millions. Right? Java Juice. Java T-shirts. Java Books. Java Hats. Sorry. Say that again. Start over. Okay. Yes. Yes. Yes, that's what I'm telling you. That's what he did. And everybody believed it. Why? Because they don't want to believe there's a God in heaven to answer to. I want to live any old way I want to. I want to live like I'm in the jungle. British zoologists thought it was human. German experts decided it was ape. The French, who cares what they thought? No. The French thought it was something in between. Nobody cares what the French thought. Somebody's going to hear that and get mad at me probably, but that's okay. I like French fries, right? That's all. French toast, French fries, French bread. French 1907, the Java expedition took place. I don't know if it's Dubois or Dubois, whatever his name is. It doesn't really matter, really. Dubois. I wanted to call him Dubious. But anyway, I don't want to be mean. I don't want to insult like 1,000 French people or a million or whatever. Not that they'll watch this, but anyway. I'm just kidding. He would not. I'm sorry. I'm still thinking about that. He would not show them his bone collection. He wouldn't. They went there to try to look at his bone collection. He didn't want to show him. He's like, no, you're not seeing it. It's mine. He took his bones and went home. Arriving in Java, they went over the Trinel site thoroughly, removed 10,000 cubic meters, 1,379 cubic yard of material, and 43 boxfuls of bones, and then declared it all to be a wasted time. They discovered that the bones came from a nearby volcano that had erupted and killed man and beast and put them all together in the same pit. So that's why you would find what? You would find beast bones. And you would find human bones. So they just took them all together and threw them all together and made Java Man. Well, they didn't. He did. They said, I think you're full of beans. That's what they said. Here's what he said. He admitted it. Check this out. Thus, the evidence given by those five new thigh bones of the morphological and functional distinctness of, I always say this wrong, Pithecanthropus erectus furnishes proof at the same time of its close affinity with the gibbon, group of anthropoid apes. What is he saying? Translation? It's that guy. That's what it is. He admitted it. He said, it's that guy. That's what it is. The whole time, that's who it was. That guy's awesome, though. I mean, honestly, he's not human, but he is pretty cool. I mean, he's far from being what... He's far from Java Man. Way far from Java Man. Right? But he does have some cool hands. And I would not want to make him mad. Because he looks like he could put a hurting on you. But that's not Java Man. That's not a man. That's a monkey. Or an ape. The intervals of time that separate fossils are so huge that we cannot say anything definite about their possible connection through ancestry or descent. Henry G., chief science writer for Nature magazine. Each fossil is an isolated point with no knowable connection to any other given fossil, and all float around in an overwhelming sea of gaps. You see that? What's he admitting? They ain't got nothing. We got nothing. We got nothing on the Bible. We got nothing on God's creation. We got nothing. We're trying to find it desperately and have been for a long time. But we can't find it. To take a line of fossils and claim that they represent a lineage is not a scientific hypothesis that can be tested, but an assertion that carries the same validity as a bedtime story amusing, perhaps even instructive, but not scientific. He's admitting this. He's saying that, hey, it makes for a good bedtime story. You know, millions of years ago, there lived Java Man. He looked kind of like Dave. Big feet like Dave. And big hands like Dave. And hair like my father. Anyway. So that was Java Man. This is his cousin, Piltdown Man. They're starting a gang. They're gangsters. Gangsters. And they are not real, just so you know. This guy. Now this story gets even better. Remember I told you about all the frauds? Well, this gets even better. The fraud, the deception, it grows. All right? This is what he found. Pieces of this. So what did he do? Well, he did what every honest guy would do. He took that, and he made that. Makes sense, right? That's what I would do. Right? Yes. This? He took this. Right? And he made this. That's magic. I had no idea. Look, Dave, you're using investigation and skills of observation. You can't do that with evolution because it's magic. I do not know. That's something you would have to ask this guy. But, again, they went nuts. And Piltdown Man was proven to be a hoax right in the newspapers. By their science correspondent, this newspaper said, hey, it's a hoax. It's not real. But they went nuts anyway. They said, we were here, and we saw this here. And that made us look like that. These two guys found it. Now, wait till you hear about who these guys are. Now, this gets even richer, okay? Okay. So, we have three characters here. Guess who we have here? We have Charles Dawson. He's the guy that found it. Doesn't he have a nice sword? And you actually have Sherlock Holmes. I'm not kidding you. I mean, not really Sherlock Holmes, but Sir Arthur Conan Doyle. Right? That's his name? Yeah. Anybody know Sherlock Holmes? Anybody read Sherlock Holmes? Well, Sherlock, they're saying that Sherlock might have been a part of this. But not for reasons that he believed in evolution, but because he said in one of his books that I could fool anybody with a fossil and put it out there and people would just believe it. Well, the reason why they think, and he was a spiritist, so he didn't believe it. He didn't believe in evolution. But what he did, he golfed at a golf course right by Piltdown golf course right there by where Piltdown Man was found. So some people believe that Sir Arthur there, he decided to play investigative detective Sherlock Holmes and plant that there and then let this guy, Charles Dawson, find it. Now, the third creepy person that's down in the corner is a Jesuit. Deschardin. He is a Jesuit. Well, he was. He's in hell now. But that Jesuit hated creationism. He absolutely hated creationism. He did not believe in it. He believed in evolution. So he was digging around in the dirt with these two, with this guy over here, Charles Dawson, and he found some stuff. So we're going to look at that. They took pieces of a skull from Dawson, a tooth from a Jesuit priest that was digging around the same pit. One day he just had, they needed more evidence, right? So they found that skull, pieces of skull. So they had pieces of skull, and the Jesuit says, well, I'll go over there and dig around. All of a sudden, he was like, this is what he did. He walked along here, and he had something in his pocket. It's kind of like this, all right? Let's say if I wanted to prove that batteries were around like 50 million years ago, I'd just be like, so I'm digging around the dirt, and I go, look! Dave, look what I found in this prehistoric dirt right here. I found a battery. It proves it. That's what he did. That's what he did. That's what the Jesuit did. Now, we know who Jesuits are, and we know that they're definitely not beyond that. A short time thereafter, he just happened to have Dr. Arthur Smith Woodward, head of the Department of Geology at the British Museum of Natural History, with him on the day he found the all-important jawbone at the gravel pit. As Woodward looked on, Dawson dug down, and there it was. Like the guy was just there, and he just, well, look, it's right there. The lower jaw was too big for a human skull, but significantly, the upper jaw was entirely missing. With it, part of the lower jaw and the important lower canine teeth. Also missing were the mating parts for the jaw hinge. That which was missing was exactly that which would have shown, number one, whether or not the lower jaw, which was ape-like, was from a human or an ape. And whether the lower jaw fitted with the upper skull bones, which were obviously human. Then Deschardin, an ardent evolutionist, although a Jesuit priest at the nearby seminary, that never stopped a Jesuit from being a devil, found an ape-like canine tooth in that gravel pit. He just happened to be digging around there, too. On December 16, 1912, the discovery was officially announced at the Geological Society. Now, these guys were all members of some pretty creepy groups over there that Darwin and Huxley and all those guys were members of. I talked about that. You have to go back and listen to the teachings I did on Huxley. And Huxley and what's the other guy's name? Forgot his name. The other bulldog from Germany. Anyway, what's that? Haeckel, thank you. Go back and listen to those. I cover all those and their groups. I think Aleister Crowley's in the mix somewhere in there, too, but that guy's got to show up somewhere. the Looney Society. Yeah, they're all kind of mixed in there, I think. But you have to check those records. Yeah. Well, she came about, too. On August 29, 1913, Teilhard stayed overnight with Dawson and then went with him the next day to the Piltdown pit. And there it was. Another of the two missing canine teeth. It was right there, not far under the gravel in the pit. Imagine that, just sitting there, beautifully preserved for 300,000 years, washed by stream water and dampened by ages of British fog, preserved as nicely as though it were the Egyptian desert, waiting for Dawson and the Jesuit to find it. Do you understand how stupid that is? They're saying that those things could survive in that climate, and it was just sitting there, and they were waiting for it. You nothing can survive in that climate like that. You couldn't. No way. It's impossible. So, this is what he found. Along with that tooth was found a stegodon, or a elephant tooth. The bones must indeed be very, very ancient. More recently, scientists have analyzed that particular stegodon tooth and found it to contain a remarkably high level of radioactivity from an ancient inflow of 0.1% uranium oxide. The radioactive level of the tooth was far too high for the British Isles, but equal to what one would find in a stegodon teeth being recovered at that time in the dry climate of Tunisia. It just so happened that from 1906 to 1908, Teilhard, the Jesuit, an avid fossil collector for many years, had lived in North Africa and was known to have stayed for a time at the nearby Bazerta in North Tunisia, a site where stegodon fossils are plentiful. So what did he do? He did the same thing the other guy did. While he was over there, he grabbed a stegodon tooth. he took it like this, and he went into that dump, and he went, and he threw it down there, and he goes, look what I found. I found a tooth over here. It fits. So they created Piltdown Man from that. By 1913, museums all over the world accepted the theory. Then other teeth were found in that damp ground. For some reason, everything else would be lost due to the wet climate, but not those teeth. Those are some good teeth. They brushed them good. And everything was so close to the surface. According to the strata theory, they should have been far below the surface. There's that theory again that always comes back to bite them. With a human skull and an ape skull jaw before them, as they worked, they shaped the plaster to produce an ape man. Captain St. Barbe and Major Marriott were two amateur paleontologists from Sussex who later reported that on separate occasions they had surprised Dawson in his office staining bones. Does anybody know why somebody would stain bones? These guys snuck into his office. They snuck in there, and they surprised him, and they saw him. He was staining all those bones. And they're like, uh-oh. That's right. It makes him look older. Because of this, they suspected that his Piltdown bone finds were nothing more than fakes. Paleontologists know that the way to make bones look ancient is to stain them a darker color. Yet few would listen to these two men. They told them, hey, we saw him do it. We were right there. Critics came out, the Board of Regents of the Smithsonian Institute. Alex Hardlicka, who in the Smithsonian Report for 1913 declared that the jaw and the canine tooth belonged to a chimpanzee. Aw, Piltdown Man's not a man. C.W.K. Gregory in 1914 and G.S. Miller in 1915 announced in scientific journals that the right lower canine tooth was in reality a left upper tooth. Then they had a dental examiner come in, and he examined the teeth in 1916 and duly reported that they had been filed. The teeth had been filed. They took a file, and they filed the teeth down. Now, why would they do that? Yes, the file marks were quite obvious to see. They said it was so obvious. In 1921, Sir Ray Lankester maintained that the skull and jaw never belonged to the same creature. His conclusion was confirmed by David Watterson of the University of London King's College. But not one of the above four revelations ever reached the public press in any appreciable amount. A whole generation grew up with Piltdown Man as their purported ancestor. Textbooks, exhibits, displays, encyclopedias all spread the good news that we came from apes. Right? Never corrected it. Just put it in the textbook. How come it doesn't bother people, even if you don't believe in creation? Wouldn't it bother you that your textbooks are so full of lies that they're learning something that is false, that is a lie? It's not even accurate. Okay, fine, you don't want to teach creation, that God created the heaven and the earth, but why do you have to teach a lie? You're teaching something that is an absolute lie. You have no integrity then, none whatsoever. But guess what happened? At the British Museum, critics were barred. British Museum, they kept the bones under lock and key. They only allowed specialists to see the cast, not the originals, because they didn't want to admit that it was a hoax, that they put all their eggs in that basket, and they lost. Three of the men involved with the Piltdown scandal were knighted. You mean the Queen was involved? They like the Bible and everything, right? They're Christians, right? No, they're not. We won't talk about that today. Decades passed, and it was too late for many. Many died and went to hell believing they came from monkeys because of the Piltdown Man hoax. Kenneth Oakley, a British museum geologist, in collaboration with Joseph Weiner, got their hands on the bones in 1953. They finally got their hands on them. They did it kind of in a crafty way. They had this new fluorine test, right? And this fluorine test revealed the bones to be quite recent. Further examinations proved that bones of Piltdown Man had been carefully stained with bichromate in order to make them appear aged. Drillings into the bones produced shavings, but should have produced powder if the bones had been ancient. But powder was not produced. Then that canine tooth was brought out and found to have been filed, stained brown with potassium bichromate, and then packed with grains of sand. Proven. Not speculated. Proven. His radioactive fluorine test proved the skull fragments were many thousands of years older than the jaw. They could not be from the same individual unless, as one scientist put it, the man died, but his jaw lingered on for a few thousand years. And that'd be weird. Milner's Encyclopedia of Evolution, 1990. For more information about the Piltdown forgery, in 1955, Weiner and chief detective in this case later published a book called The Piltdown Forgery. He considered Dawson to have been the one who initiated the fake. There's a lot of people that wondered how it happened. We know the Jesuits were involved. I believe he was involved with the Big Bang Theory, too, that Jesuit. So I'll talk about that when we get to the Big Bang. But he was really a proponent of evolution. So the Jesuit worked together. Some say that Arthur Conan Doyle was exonerated, that they found the DNA testing on the bones and found out that it was Dawson, that his handprints were on him, so it was probably Dawson that did all of it. But who knows? We all know that they were sinister and they were all involved, and so was the Jesuit, Chardin. He was involved with the whole operation. So this is Lucy. We won't take a lot of time with Lucy because it is an obvious fake. You can see it looks like a cross between a man and a monkey. Right. And it doesn't look like a woman at all. Anyway, Lucy was one of the most recent finds that they found. It was unearthed by Donald Johansson in Ethiopia in 1975. He dated it at 3 million years before present. I like how they date those things. Well, let me look at that thing and say, well, that's 3 million years old. I see. Where'd you get that date from? Sounded really cool at the time. So we just said three million. It sounded cool. In 1979, Johansson and White claimed that Lucy came under an eight-man classification. But even before that startling announcement, the situation did not look too good for Lucy. In 1976, Johansson said that Lucy has massive V-shaped jaws in contrast to man. Well, that would be a problem. In 1981, he said she was embarrassingly unhomo-like. Well, if somebody called you unhomo-like, you'd appreciate that. But Lucy, if she wanted to be a man, would not want to be called unhomo-like, right? But we understand that what they mean is that Lucy ain't a man. Time magazine reported in 1977 that Lucy had a tiny skull, a head like an ape, a brain case size the same as that of a chimp, 450cc, and was surprisingly short-legged. Well, she might resent that. That wasn't very nice. I like this picture of Lucy better. Dr. Copens appearing on BBC TV in 1982 stated that Lucy's skull was like that of an ape. In 1983, Jeremy Chervis said that Lucy's ankle bone tilts backward like a gorilla instead of forwards, as in human beings who need it so to walk upright, and concluded that the differences between her and human beings are unmistakable. I agree. That would be one ugly woman. What? I ain't kidding. That's not something you write home and tell mom about. It's not something you want a selfie on or on Facebook. Any of those pictures right there. Right? I could see Garrett having that on, like, Instagram or something, maybe. Or something. No, I don't. Go away. Go far away. Never come back. Anyway, so Sussman and Sturt of New York University carefully examined Lucy and said her thumb was ape-like, her toes long and curved for tree climbing, and she probably nested in the trees and lived like other monkeys. Well, duh. She's a monkey. Not hard to understand, but that never stopped the St. Louis Zoo from being deceptive. The St. Louis Zoo has Lucy on display with human feet and hands. No feet or hand bones were found. The purpose of the display is not for education, but for indoctrination. Look, did they find the feet? Do they know what the feet look like? I'm going to go back to look at that picture and do some comparisons. I'm starting to wonder. No feet or hand bones were found. What was the purpose to deceive children? To make them think that this was true. So when you were a child, if you were a child and you went to public school, who went to public school? Did anybody? Okay, when you were a child, you saw these. Did you believe that's what they found? Pretty much that's what they found, right? Something similar to that. They don't tell you that, well, we found like three bones and that's it and we made this out of those three bones. Exactly. They actually had the entire skeleton, they had it all there, and they just filled in the gaps. I mean, not very creative. No, that's really creative. They're so deceptive. Do you see what I mean? That's what they're doing. See, they're using lies. Who does that? Marvel not. What does the Bible say about Satan? That he comes as an angel of light, right? To deceive. In the form, what does that mean, an angel of light? What is the light that Satan offers? Knowledge. What did he offer in the beginning? Knowledge. And if that knowledge will exalt a man above the God of the Bible, if he will ascend to the heights of heaven, if he will be like the Most High, if ye shall be as gods, if you shall sit on the mount of the sides of the north, if you shall be exalt your throne above the stars of God. Right? You can be a god too, because we're evolving. Satan doesn't care what god you believe in as long as you don't believe exclusively in the God of the Bible. You can have as many gods as you want. As long as you go to hell, he'll be fine with it. And if he can talk you out of that by lying to you, and how many kids saw these pictures and just believed that? Scientists were divided on Lucy. Whether the bones were from one ape or two different ones. But make no mistake about it, it's a monkey. It's an ape, not a human. They tried to link a fossil 1,000 miles away with Lucy. So they tried to make Lucy 500,000 years older than previously listed. Then two scientists got into a fight. They got mad at each other and they started squabbling. Johansson himself finally decided that Lucy was only an ape. So after Johansson had done all that stuff, he said, well, I think she's just an ape. Johnson himself originally described the fossils as Homo, a species of man, but soon after changed his mind based on the assessment of his colleague, Tim White. They now describe the bones as too ape-like, in the jaws, teeth, and skull to be considered Homo, yet also sufficiently distinct from other later Australopithecines, whatever that is, to warrant their own species. That's an ape. That's a fancy way of saying ape. The evidence makes it overwhelmingly likely that Lucy was no more than a variety of a pygmy chimpanzee and walked the same way, awkwardly upright on occasions, but most quadrupedal. The evidence for the alleged transformation from ape to man is extremely unconvincing. I would have to agree. I would have to agree that you can't take a couple teeth, a piece of a skull, and make Lucy unless you have magic. And deception. See, the point is to deceive. That's what they always do. The point of it all is to deceive people. And they wanted evolution to be so true. They wanted proof of it so much that people, I mean, there's so much more I could say about these, the deception that went into this, the orchestrated plans that they made, the way that they did things, the way that they hid things. But it's enough to say that the evidence itself, without, take the conspiracy theory out, although it is kind of weird a Jesuit was involved with that, but take that conspiracy theory out, take all of that out, and just use the plain facts, and you come to the same conclusion, that none of those are transitional species. They're not. Why? Because the Bible is true, and what God said is true, and there are people that will come by, and they will try to deceive you away from the truth, seduce you from the simplicity that is in Christ Jesus. And that's what they want to do to children. They want to seduce them young and get them not to believe there's a God. Why? Because the God, look, if there's a God in heaven, then it's not chaos. There's order. And then I have to follow God's word. And then guess what that means? That means there's rules to society. There's rules to living. There's rules. There's a God I have to answer to. And they don't want that. Every man wants to do that which is right in his own eyes. And we are seeing a society that is going back to the jungle. Going back to the jungle, that's where it's headed. Why? Because in Romans chapter 1, because when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, but became vain in their imaginations. What does the Bible say? Their foolish heart was darkened. They turned the image of the incorruptible God into that which is a corrupted four-footed creatures and beasts, right? They changed the image of God into beasts. That's your creator. They worshiped and served the creature more than the creator, who is God blessed forever. Amen. And for this cause, what happens to them? Hand them over to a reprobate mind. Yep. 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 Yes. A creature. That's right. Yeah. Corruptible beast, right? Well, we'll get to the exact. Oh, we'll go to Romans. Let's go to Romans 1. We'll quote it exactly here. Sure has. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith. It is written, the just shall live by faith. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness, because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has showed it unto them. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead. So they are without excuse. Listen, they have the evidence. They don't want to see it. Because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. How do you profess yourself to be wise? Well, when you find three bones and you create a Piltdown Man from three bones, that's professing yourself to be wise and you become a fool. You look like a fool. And change the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like to corruptible man and to birds and four-footed beasts and creeping things. Wherefore, look at that. And change the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like to corruptible man and to birds and four-footed beast and creeping things. There you go. Wherefore, God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lust of their own hearts. Well, if we're just animals, we can do whatever we want. To desire their own bodies between themselves. To dishonor their own bodies between themselves. Who changed the truth of God into a lie. What'd they do? And worshipped and served the creature more than the creator, who is God blessed forever. Amen. For this cause, God gave them up unto vile affections. For even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature. And likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust one toward another, men with men, working that which is unseemly, and receiving themselves that recompense of their error, which was meet. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient, being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whispers, backbiters, haters of God. And make no mistake about it, these people hate God. Now, I'm not talking about every person that believes in evolution. I'm talking about the main teachers of it, the professors of it. Despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection, implacable, unmerciful, who knowing the judgment of God that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. This is the time, this is where we're at, folks. And the truth is there. We've got to get it out. We've got to get the truth out that this evidence is false and let everybody know that it is. And they have no evidence for transitional species. Their missing link is still missing because there isn't one. God told man how he created all things. He laid it down in Genesis, the book of beginnings. It's there. And by faith, we believe it. And we can see the evidence of it in creation. We can observe that we reproduce after our own kind. So do I believe what God says, or do I believe the Piltdown Man fairy tale magic men that take three bones? Look, you're telling me it's a big deal, right? They tell us it's a big deal that, well, you say that God formed man out of the dust of the ground, breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. Yeah? Well, you tell me that some scientist created Piltdown Man by taking three bones, and he made that out of him. So which one's a miracle? One came from intelligent design, and one came from your own vain imagination. And that's the truth. Because we are fearfully, wonderfully made, and it can be seen. Amen. Father, Lord, thank you. Thank you for the truth. Help us get it out there to people. They need it so badly, Lord. We pray, Father, that you just would bless us now and bless this day. Help us to live for you and serve you. And, Lord, we pray that you'd bless the food to our bodies in the time we have together today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.